fire in his eyes and the sword in his hand. And he's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes and the sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse all across this land. He's calling out to you and me. Will you ride with me? He has fire in his eyes and the sword in his hand. And he's riding a white horse across this land. Calling out to you and me. Will you ride with me? We say yeah.
Yes, Lord.
We'll ride with you.
How many was here 39 years ago? Would you raise your hand? 39 years ago today. We marched from the old church to the G.A. Mangan Center on a Sunday, 39 years ago today. Now, how many was here 39 years ago? Now, there's a song that we used to sing. I like that Mighty God. I like the new version of Mighty God. But back at 60th and Day Street, we sang, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Yes, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
One more time together.
What a mighty God we serve.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, he is a mighty God, and we serve him tonight because he created the whole universe that we see here. And tonight we're going to continue part two of the origin of the universe. How did it come into existence? Was it always there, as some people suppose? It had no beginning and no end? Well, if we believe that, then we try to deny the intelligent design. We're going to give you reasons why that we believe that the intelligence of the design is wrapped in plain view as a hidden needle right in plain view of our understanding. To everything there's a reason, a season, a purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which has been planted. Time to kill, a time to heal, time to break down, and a time to build up. Time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Oh man, I feel like dancing tonight. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I got really blessed today. I received a letter from a brother and sister that lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, not too far from Pastor Buddy here, and it was just a wonderful letter, just stirred my heart. Told you a little bit about how they come into this offering by faith that I just received today, $500 in a letter that was posted for the purchase of the property, the Feesite property, and it brought us, ladies and gentlemen, to $1,500 of our gold. $1,500 is all we like to having enough money to pay down on the property. Now, that's wonderful that it's going to be a place that we can laugh, we can plant, and we can heal, we can break down, and we can build up, we can weep, and we can mourn, and we can dance. Right now, I'm in a dancing mood, praise Yahweh. What a mighty God we serve. He's awesome. Now, this place that we have originated into being through faith of a few, a time to love and a time to hate. We hate the devil. We don't, with a perfect hatred. You know, the Bible said, Yahweh rebuke you, Satan. I mean, if you get to picking on the devil, I mean, he can come at you 99 ways to one, and he's pretty nasty sometimes when he gets involved or he gets into details. And we found this out during the transition or the closings of two different properties to coordinate it. There's a time to keep silent, and there's a time to speak. A time to rent, and a time to sow, and a time to gather stones, and a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. You know, you don't want to embrace the devil. You want to rebuke him. And the Bible said he'll flee from you. So we've sown. There's a time to heal, a time to break down, and things of this nature. And so it's the beginning of time. We're going to start marking time today with the consideration that we're within $1,500 of our anticipated goal, our goal, which is to acquire the property. Now, this is just to place the banner across the property, the King's Gate Inn. Now, I wonder what people's going to think about that. The King's Gate. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, the gate is your third eye, or what we call the spiritual eye. Can you see your way clear to lay up your treasure in heaven at the King's Gate? We believe there's going to be miracles, and we're going to believe Yahweh for healing and for saving and for baptizing. Got a lot of work to do. You carpenters, now we've done got two master carpenters. And then we've got other carpenters that are very skilled. But we have one especially that is he's rated as a master carpenter. So these men are going to be building as we can. Now, we have really taxed the fathers, asking them to give, and some has really dug deep into the pockets and into their savings to help us, and we're so thankful. That's why we feel like dancing and praising. We're going to open up when we get on the property at the first Sabbath, High Sabbath. It's going to be a High Sabbath when we get the property. And, of course, we're going to build an altar. We've done got that scheduled. I've done talked to the brother that builds the altars. And we got an elaborate plan to build us an altar. This is, I told Brother Randy that is going to be building the altar, that we want to take our time and we want to do a first-class job. We want the accurate stones. We want something that's never been touched by metal. Preferably river rock. I'd like to have large, smooth, round, as possible. River rock as much as possible. So if you have an area in your neighborhood, we don't care where it comes from, just as long as it's no metal tools or things. And when you gather it, if you have to get it out of the ground, use a stick, don't use metal. And when you load it on your truck or whatever vehicle that you're going to transport it down in, that would should be on something that would keep it from touching metal. And we want large. Now, when I say large, not we're not wanting anything that you can't carry. One man should be able to carry these stones, because if you go back to Gilgal at the Jordan River before they went to Gilgal, which means the heavenly circle that they built up on the mountain, and it's still there today, by the way, praise Yahweh, this awesome altar, see, people don't build them no more. We build these altars, the old-fashioned, designed, scripturally inspired, obedient to the Word. We go to great length and detail, and we've studied on the subject for over 40 years of the sacred altar and what goes into it, what constitutes an altar in a circle. And we're going to open up one of the best bottles of wine that we can in celebration. When we get on the property, we'll have the deed in the hand. Nothing against it. Except taxes. We're not a 501(c) exempt. We can't send you a tax exemption. I wish we could. We just don't submit to 501(c), which is the authorization to exempt ourselves for privilege of selling our soul. We don't do that. And so then, we pray and trust that Yahweh would bless you and your understanding here tonight in part two of the message of the origin of the universe. Now, we know what we believe to be the origin, but science has, got different theories. If a person that even opposes even the possibility of there being a God in the first place, then any evidence can be rationalized or explained away. It's like someone refuses to believe that people have walked on the moon, which I'm one of them. And then no amount of information is going to change their thinking. Now, we might already in ancient times, it's possible that some of our ancient fathers walked on it. I believe this time it was faked. If you consider the preponderance of the evidence, it looks like to me it's a sure fake. But we believe that that is planned to look like a fake. While in the black arts or the black ops and the intelligence it takes to create vehicles to go there, because we know what it takes. We think that that was probably achieved in the 40s and the 50s. So, these are things that are kept hid, but here's the question. First question right out of the bat. Does God, now in this case we're talking about Yahweh. When I say God, I do it for your sake, because there's many gods. And so God is a generic term that we often have to resort to use to bring you up to speed of who we're talking about. Now, if you don't know who Yahweh is, He's the Creator, the Father of a people who are called by His name. Does He exist? The complexity of our planet itself points to a deliberate, intelligent designer who not only created our universe, but who also sustains it even today and will. Who created time and said, time began, and who announced that time would end. So we're somewhere in between. Now let me give you a few examples of an intelligent designer. Only Yahweh could do this, I believe. The earth is perfect in size and corresponding to what it would take to equip the earth to hold ourself in nothingness with gravity, which holds a thin layer of mostly nitrogen and oxygen gases, where we extend out about 50 miles above the Earth's surface. Now, if Earth was smaller, no, it wouldn't take much. An atmosphere would be impossible. Like the planet Mercury, if Earth was larger, its atmosphere would contain free hydrogen. Like Jupiter, neither one of these planets, as of today, is naturally inhabitable by man. Because we have already tested the air and the gases, and it's unless something changes here radically, we could not survive on these planets without having artificial means of surviving. Earth is the only known planet equipped with an atmosphere of the right mixture of gases to sustain animal and plant life, and also life of what we call the Adam man. Earth is located at the right distance from the sun. Now, somebody had to do this. I mean, if you can't see an intelligent designer, you just really, you know, and we got atheists and people that don't believe in the Creator, that it was an evolutionary little speck of mud that formed and a little blob, and man washed up on some distant shore somewhere back eons ago, and he evolved into what he is today from a monkey or from some type of a species, an animal. Well, how did the animal get here? Who designed him? You can see that there are designers who well thought out. Now, have you ever built a house? I always marvel that people have the ability to design something and build it without a set of plans. Very few people can achieve that and do it correctly. Somebody had to know what they were doing. The Earth located at the right distance from the sun, and when you consider the temperature swings that we encounter, roughly 30 minus degrees, to 100 plus 20. If the Earth was any farther away from the sun, we would all freeze. Any closer and we would all burn up. Somebody hung it right where it is. I mean, this wasn't a haphazard evolutionary thing. Somebody placed the stars, the distant suns, and our own sun in our own solar system at a correct angle, and even a fraction variance in the Earth's position to the sun would make life on Earth impossible. A fractional variance. The Earth remains a perfect distance from the sun while it rotates around the sun at a speed of nearly 67,000 miles per hour. It also rotates on its axis around the entire surface of the Earth to be properly warmed and cooled every day in its seasonal approach. It's amazing to me that man cannot accept an intelligent designer. The origin of the universe, did it have a beginning? Well, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that I just read you and quoted from says there is a time and a purpose for all things. And there's a time to begin. There's a time to die and a time to be born, or a time to be born and a time to die. A rotational thing that nature could not have invented itself. That when you die, there must be something more to this life. Because the Bible says, if you believe in me, you'll never die. We've got something no other religion in the world produces the amount of promises of a designer, a creator, who created the earth and put man here to tend it or to care for it or to take care of it. Earth was created for man. And the Bible said it was good. Our moon, which itself is a perfect size and a perfect distance from the earth for its gravitational pulls, and the moon creates important oceanic tides and movement so that ocean waters do not stagnate, and yet our massive oceans are restrained from spilling over across the continents, and that could happen if there was any disturbance. And we know that very well. Tsunamis and things that we've been having lately, and a great disturbance of what we call in the Bible as a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. It seems like that we're getting into that. Now take water, one of the greatest elements of mystery, along with fire. These are the two things that have an element of mystery. Water is colorless, odorless, and without taste. And yet no living thing on the earth can survive without water. Now that's why that we emphasize that water baptism for the remission of sin or renewing is so important. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you can't get into the kingdom. And so it is, water, without water, you die. Plants and animals and human beings consist mostly of water. 2/3 to the ratio of the body is water. 2/3 of it. Now, why are the characteristics of water so uniquely suited for life? It has an unusually high boiling point and an unusually low freezing point. Water allows us to keep ourselves alive in an environment of fluctuating temperature changes while keeping our bodies a steady 98.6 degrees. Isn't it awesome? Now, I can't wait to tell you some of the things about genetics. Oh, this is, I mean, if you could see under a microscope the living cells of the body, and if you could be privy to the dissecting of the genetic code, it is so awesome that the thousands of chemicals and minerals and nutrients that has to be carried throughout our bodies and into the smallest blood vessels, and there's literally miles of these, in a fearfully and wonderfully made body, and we think that we've evolved from some ape just because we like act like them. And a lot of people look like them, if you've ever noticed. I mean, they've been so apish all along that they actually turn out to look like one. But water is chemically neutral without affecting the makeup of the substances that it carries. Water that enables the food, the medicines, and the minerals to be absorbed and used by the body. Water has a unique surface tension. Water in plants can therefore flow upward against gravity, bringing life-giving water and nutrients to the top of even the tallest trees. Isn't it marvelous? Now, we know for a fact that water freezes from the top down and floats so that fish can live in the water even though it's icy. 97% of the Earth's water is in the oceans, 97%. But on our Earth, there is a system designed which removes salt from the water and then redistributes that water throughout the globe, and evaporation takes the ocean waters, leaving the salt and forms the clouds, which are easily moved by the wind, to disperse water again over the land for vegetation, animals, and people. It's a system of purification and resupply that sustains life on this planet, and we don't know of any system that manufactures any more water than was what was put here in the origination. It's a recycle system proving that there's an intelligent design for a system of recycled and reused water over and over. So what you're drinking has been here for eons. What you'll be drinking in the future, which will sustain you and keep you, is water that's been reused and recycled through the greatest filtration process. Greenery, leaves, vegetation, rocks. My dad always told me, you know, if you drink out of a stream, make sure it runs over seven gravels and you can be assured it's pure. That's nature's way of filtering the water. That's not necessarily true. Might have been back in his time, because water was a lot cleaner, and if you drink, I've drunk out of horse tracks. I honestly have. Be out in the woods and in the mountains down here in Tennessee, and you get out and you can't get to a stream, and you're just thirsting, parchy, and you realize that you've drifted off from a stream, and you look for a branch or a creek, can't find nothing but a cow track, and maybe it's just fresh rain. You'll just push a little wiggly worms back, and you'll drink. I have. Know a lot of people have done that. And yet in those days, we didn't feel any effect. I wouldn't advise you to do it today. Now, look at the brain, the most complex of the thinking. It's marvelous. I just cannot comprehend. I look at man and the intelligence that he can accumulate and specialize, just like I was talking about the master carpenter, perfectionist. They do so good, and most of them don't even, you know, they don't have to look at a set of plans unless they're wanting to be master tradesmen, and they do it by the purpose and the intentions under heaven. The human brain simultaneously processes an amazing amount of information. Your brain takes in all colors and objects that you see, the temperature around you, the pressure at your feet against the floor, the sounds around you, the dryness of your mouth, even the texture of your keyboard. Your brain holds and processes all your emotions, thoughts, and memories. And at the same time, your brain keeps track of the ongoing functions of your body, like your breathing pattern. And I told you in the first segment of our message that the neshama, the breath, is awesome. What a mighty Yah we serve. Heaven and earth adore Him. The brain keeps track of the ongoing functions of your body, like when you breathe. It gets so repetitious and functions so normally and naturally. Most of the time, you are not even aware of your breathing. Your eyelid, your movement, your hunger, your muscles in your eyes or your fingers, the nerve endings, the cells, the billions of cells. Are you carrying your ancient ancestors in your genetic makeup? You could be. That they reside within you. Now, the Bible said Christ the anointing in you is the hope of glory. What? Know you not that He's in you? That it's an intelligence. It's nothing that nature has produced on its own. It had to have a beginning, and it had to know that the human brain processes more than a million messages a second. Now, I'm going to repeat that. The human brain processes more than a million messages a second. And your brain weighs the importance of all the data, filtering out the relatively unimportant, And the screening function is what allows you to focus and to operate effectively in your environment. The brain functions differently than all other organs. There is an intelligence to it. The ability to reason, to produce feelings, to dream, to plan, to take action, and to relate to things around you, including your own fellow man. We are so uniquely made that there is no two fingerprints that matches. None. It's you can singly identify a person because there's no one else around to match. He can get close. But it's almost that the eye, when it functions, can distinguish 7 million variants of colors. 7 million. It has automatic focusing and handles an astonishing 1.5 million messages simultaneously. Evolution focuses on mutations and changes from and within existing organisms. Yet evolution alone does not fully explain the initial source of the eye or the brain and the start of living organism from non-living matter. Does Yahweh exist? Did the universe have a start? What caused it? This is the things that puzzle scientists. They're convinced that our universe began with one enormous explosion, what we know as the Big Bang of energy and light, which we call the Big Bang. This was the singular start to everything that exists, they say, and the beginning of the universe, the start of space, and even the initial start of time itself. Where before this Big Bang, what existed before then? Before the world was, I am. And so we invoke the intelligence of a creator, a designer. Now, he had a lot of helpers. His angels shouted for joy when man, who is wonderfully and fearfully made, who existed somewhere else in a different state or dimension, before the world was, I am. I was with him before the world was. And all that were with me in the beginning will be with me in the end. Now, if you're agnostic, you can say that the seed of everything that has happened in the universe was planted in that first instant when there was a Big Bang. That's an agnostic. I mean, it's just like something blowed up and out of that emerged man or seeds or the eye that can register 1.5 million impulses and color variations within a microsecond. Every star, every planet, and every being creature in the universe came into being as a result of events that were set in motion in the moment of the cosmic explosion. The universe flashed into being, and we cannot find out what caused that to happen. And so we remain agnostic. Mostly. Even Christians doubt. They don't, I mean, they acknowledge the Creator. But when you get into the details of how it was created and who made it, that's when they start backing up and saying, well, I really don't know. I can't explain that. The Bible says that at the moment of the explosion, the universe was about 100,000 million degrees centigrade. And the universe was filled with light. Well, isn't that what God said in the beginning? When he said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, how did he separate the light from the darkness? What two things can you imagine in your mind to explain that when the universe was filled with light, somewhere else it was dark? What is it that neither one of those remain in the same place? When light comes, darkness flees. When when darkness is prevailing, it's an absence of light. That's all it is. How does it exist? How does the universe operate by uniform laws of nature? Why does it? Who set this divine motion and uniform laws? As Ecclesiastes chapter says, 3, that there is a time and a place and a purpose under heaven for all things. Some universe or some intelligent design, who designed these things that we're talking about to operate in a uniform law within what we would call nature, is actually within the framework of the intelligent being who brought nature itself into existence. And before the world was, I am. I have no beginning, I have no end. That's what the scientists are trying to... Where did we come from? It was the earth. Was the universe created? Well, we know if it has a beginning, it has an end. Is the universe going to end? I mean, what about time? Much of life does really seem uncertain. But if you look, you can count on day after day that gravity remains constant. A hot cup of coffee left on the counter will get cold. The earth rotates in the same 24-hour period, and the speed of light doesn't change on earth or in the galaxies which are far away from us. And that's exactly how they measure theory of quantum physics, the theory of relativity. The greatest scientists have been struck by how strange that there is no logical necessary or necessity for a universe that obeys rules, let alone one that abides by the rules of mathematics. I mean, it's amazing what you can do with mathematics. If you can't believe for what you see around you, nature itself would teach you that there has to be some kind of an intelligent design behind the origin of the universe and its structure and purpose. The astonishment that springs from the recognition that the universe doesn't have to behave in this way, there's no laws that says it has to. And if it's just a big bang and we're just throwing out here in a big cosmic bang and we came into being without a intelligent designer. Now, quantum electrodynamics says that when nature is mathematical, and why it's mathematical is entirely, even right now, considered to be a mystery. The fact that there are rules at all in this kind of way is nothing short of a miracle. Nothing short of a miracle. Now, we know that the universe has not always, if you believe that there is a creator, that it couldn't always exist. There had to be a time. Now, if there's a time, there has to be an end of time. There's a time to do this and a time to do that, and as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, how strange it is that no logical necessity for a universe that obeys these rules, and yet alone one that abides by the rules of the mathematics that within it's framed. That's why that Master Carpenter pulls out a ruler, and by a system of mathematics, he can build you a house that's plumb and square. What about quantum electrodynamics? Why is nature so mathematical? It is a miracle to explain the DNA code in forms the programs and the sales behavior to act like it does. And this programming had to pre-exist. Somebody who wired or built the human body. Now, can you imagine that this great DNA code came from a little blob of genetic matter? Or some glob of mud, you know, that swam up out of, or washed up on some distant shore and started instruction and teaching and training with an intent for someone who writes an instruction manual does so with a purpose? Did you know that in every cell of our bodies there exists a very detailed instruction code, much like a miniature computer program? Who did that? To turn on the receptors or turn them off. It is amazing. A computer program is made up of ones and zeros, like 1100, 1010, 1011, 1000, any way arranged. The way that they're arranged tells the computer program what to do. The DNA code in each of our cells is very similar to a computer. It's made up of four chemicals that scientists abbreviate as A, T, G, and C. And I did a series on genetics a couple of years ago. Fascination of the mysteries of how it's made up of the four chemicals and how did these chemicals get in our body in a sequence that it could range the DNA code in each of our cells so that we could make us be what we are, some prearranged intelligence made us what we are. And who are we as the clay saying to the potter, why did you make me like this? There are 3 billion of letters in the cells like C, G, T, G, T, G, A, C, T, C, G, C, T, C, C, T, G, A, T, and so on and so forth. 3 billion of these letters in every human cell. Not just one, every human cell, and you literally have billions of those, and there's 3 billion of these letters in code schemes. Are we wonderfully and fearfully made or what? And you don't think it's time to shout and glorify and give a place for this intelligence to set among us and let it be our force, our inspiration, our leader, our guider? We should obey and act in a certain way as the full instruction manual of some master designer plugged into our being. And the Bible said, everyone that are mine will come to me. There's something plugged in. Something makes you different. Now, the potter made some one way and some the other way. Now, why did he do that? Why, if it's by nature and we have this complexity among us, why are we also uniquely different with 3 billion cells of letters which act as an abbreviation of our performance based on who we are and where we came from? Where did we come from? It's amazing. It's amazing. And you only have to ask, how did this informational program wind up in each human cell? There are not just chemicals. These are chemicals that instruct that code imprint to a very detailed way exactly how a person's body should develop. Eye color and things of this nature. Natural, biological causes are completely lacking as an explanation when programmed information is involved pre-existing. Does Yahweh exist? Is there an intelligence? Is God a spirit, as it says in John 4:24? Of course He is. Before He formed me in the belly, before He brought blood and muscle, before He gave us this genetic plan, our character and our makeup, formed us before we were ever in the belly, what power did that? Now, many atheists talk about people believing in God was just a waste of time, or an intelligent being. They spend a lot of time, atheists spend a lot of time and attention and energy refuting something that we don't believe even exists. I mean, they'll argue that there's no God or no intelligent being, and then they'll spend half of their life trying to convince you that there's not. And yet, you're only an atheist until you're ready to die. And then you fall into the hands of He who has power to kill both soul and body. That's one you got to fear. That's one that you need to acknowledge. That's why that we are rejoicing here at the King's Gate Inn. Because there's something wonderful coming. This is not happening just haphazardly like a huge explosion. This has just come about recently to prepare a place here in the South at a central connector like the letters in the billions of sails, which is now appearing in the end time to make His name known. I'm telling you, to make His name known, that you could have a right to the tree of life, which is the one that Yahweh said that you could do that and live forever. Live forever? Now, the topic that you got to weigh on your mind is you find out what Yahweh wants to be known. He's the one that hides it from the wise and prudent, and reveals it to those who will acknowledge His and humbling down and accepting to live within the framework of this cosmic enterprise called Earth and its existence in the universe, and experience that every second in every cell of every moment there's life until Yahweh says it's finished. Now, unlike any other revelation about a creator, there's literature written, millions of beliefs and things that go through man's mind. But the most specific picture that we have of the Father revealing Himself was in a body of flesh likened unto yours. Would you believe that the marvelous Creator, if He did create, why would He leave His glory and His majesty and become a man? Because He was a universal spirit. He filled heaven and earth. A man cannot do that. And so then, He came down through the womb of a woman, and there, He presented Himself through the womb of a woman to become the sin sacrifice acceptable for righteousness' sake, and proven that Abba Father prepared a body for Himself, got in it, and walked among His people who knew Him not. The Bible said He was in the world, and He says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, this attribute belonging only to God the Eternal One, who made heaven and earth, was in the world, and the world knew him not, came to his own received him not, and the teachers who reject him, who are trying to deny his existence, that he was divine, and he said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Now that's not cannibalistic. That's not as gory as it might sound. It is a spiritual significance of eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and he used natural metaphors and explanations of his body, which is the fruit of the vine. He said, I am the vine. The fruit of the vine was his manufactured human genetic blood, shed his own blood. But now if you had to get one drop of that blood to live or to eat or to drink, you'd never get it. But so the symbol of taking and drinking his blood is in the vine of a grape, which is a marvelous itself expression of nature by some design to bring these metaphors and these analogies into focus to explain what a mighty God we serve. He did what other people couldn't do. He did what you couldn't do. He went where you couldn't go. He did what you couldn't do. He opened up the path of a hidden way. Now the Bible says it'll be a path that no unclean thing has walked on. So you can't get defiled when you get on this highway. The only way you get defiled or get muddied or get fleshly is to wander off the highway. Stay on the highway. Do not turn to the right or turn to the left. For Yahweh has warned us that we must press toward the mark and the high calling which is in Him and believe that before the world was, I am the creator of this grand design that has itself the focus of eternal life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to close. We're $1,500 short. We've got until next Monday evening to close to lay $148,000 on the table and purchase a place within this universe for this little tiny speck of faith to walk among us. And he walked in the camp. He said, don't spoil it and dirty it because I walk among my children. Now it takes faith to see that walk. I've seen it here in the last 3 weeks. As you walk by faith, through grace, supplying a place for Yahweh to meet with us in heavenly places. Now the only way that that's possible is for you to come into the enclosure of what we call the King's Gate Inn here in East Tennessee, Sweetwater, Tennessee. Beautiful place. Gorgeous. In the mountains of Smokies. It's the base of the Smokies, laying on the western side of the Smokies, which is divided between North Carolina and Tennessee. We share the border, and the Great Smokies run right through between or through these two wonderful states. And the Appalachians crosses them, starting in Georgia and running out to all the way to Maine, 1,400 miles going north, northeast. What a mighty Yahweh serve. Yahweh and His Neshama. Let Him breathe into you and become a new creature. Meet us at the King's Gate Inn. We need your help. Put us a love offering in the mail. We'll appreciate you. We're going to call your name out. We're going to have a bonfire with all the envelopes and all the packages. The overnight expresses, some have spent huge sums of money just overnighting their gift to get to us so we could count it as quickly to enable us to have faith. We love you tonight. Call me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. My telephone number, 423-626-2172. My cell phone number, 423-259-0606. And my, how we love you, sponsored tonight by Brother Mark, who really came through for it. Well, even our sponsor are giving us offerings to put in on the property. They do enough just getting a message to you tonight. If we've helped you or blessed you, send us a love offering. We'd like to thank the brother and sister who had a faith walk and a faith talk. I was blessed when I got their letter today. I'm looking for yours in the mail tomorrow, that Yahweh will bless you, that we can all ride to the King's Gate Inn. We can gather up in our DNA code sequence, because we were chosen before the foundation of the world to bear this name before the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. I love you. Yeah, come on, say yes. Help us out. We need you. $1,500 to get the deed to the property of Kingsgate Inn. Be a part of it. Join with us. If we get more than we need, which is very, very likely, we could. We're waiting on your tithing offer, and we'll put it to good use. We'll build you a set of restrooms. We'll build you an assembly. We got a thousand things to do to get her done, and it's a short time to get her done. And we love you. I'll see you tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 9 Central on a Wednesday night, when I'll be back with part 3 of this wonderful explosion called the intelligence design of the origin of the universe. Can you say yes? I love you.